Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies.
Hi, everyone. It's my absolute pleasure today to have Ian McAfee of Shift Markets, and I'm so happy to have him on this podcast of Crypto Nights. Ian, welcome. Welcome to Crypto Nights.
Thank you very much, Kyle. It's great to be here.
Great. Very happy to have you. Why don't we kick it off by having you introduce yourself? I'm always excited about talking to entrepreneurs, and you've been a true blue entrepreneur. So why don't we kick it off by you introducing your past background?
Sure. Thanks for that. I started this company in 2009. I had been in financial services prior to that. I was working in an FX trading firm in New York here. And me and my partners were kind of excited about what was happening in online trading as a whole. And in 2009, we just kind of left where we worked and started in my apartment in the Upper East Side here in New York, and really just got working on what we thought would be the future of online trading. And the concept at the time was pretty vague. We hadn't started our own businesses before. So you kind of go through those trials and tribulations and really figure out how things work when you don't really have a lot to fall back on. And we ended up doing some consulting work to start things off. And that was mostly because we wanted to generate capital. We didn't really have much to start with, put a few thousand dollars each, honestly. It wasn't very much. So we looked out for opportunities where we could use our knowledge and our time to really build awareness, build credibility and knowledge, and just get a name for ourselves. And it did take a little bit of time, but we had a few clients pretty early on. We focused on mobile technology. We worked with some different brokers and pretty quickly made our way up to larger brokers and eventually exchanges and even world-class market makers. So on the consulting side, we did work with NASDAQ. We worked with Citadel Securities. And, we really learned a lot and grew the business quite a bit that way. At the same time, we started building out a product, and we knew that the kind of selling our time wasn't totally scalable. We only had so many hours in the week, and we wanted to build a product that would really that we could grow the business with. And that was primarily packaging infrastructure for operating your own trading firm. And that entailed a platform and services and support. And we had an offering that allowed people to set up their own trading firm in the FX space. And regulations changed in the U.S. pretty quickly after we started our company. We started in 2009 and Dodd-Frank passed in 2010, more or less kind of making it extremely difficult to getting into the space in the United States. So in our home country, we were kind of forced not to do much work. That put us at in international marketing and sales. And we really built a good strategy for that. So a lot of our clients were coming from really all over the world, especially emerging markets. And the idea was FX, as crypto is, and at the time FX was really exciting in the sense that you're opening the door to a lot of people that haven't traded online before in an instrument that they felt was secure. Around the world you have, and even now, there's still a lot of mobile devices getting lit up. There's still more connections coming online, and people want to do things like invest and trade. And FX being a 24-hour market and being something that couldn't be easily manipulated relative to like a local equities market, people thought that was really exciting. So we built out kind of a turnkey service where people could set up their own operation in the FX space. Pretty quickly, we could get people up in a couple months, and once they were finished, they had a website, they had a platform, and they could start taking customers. If you kind of fast forward a little bit, we started looking at the cryptocurrency space, and it was a natural change for us in the sense that it was still online trading. There was still a lot of need for the service that we provided. And actually even more so, the industry is still, I'd say, in its infancy. There's an ecosystem really being built out right now, and we see our role in that to be the same thing we did before, is enablers and providing access to people who really wanted to participate in the space more than just trading. People that, you know, really are excited about the space. There's different ways you can go. There's your ICOs and different types of service providers and things that they could start. This one being, you could be an exchange. And what's cool about being an exchange is that it's really the gateway for the average person to get into the cryptocurrency industry. The first company they typically will deal with is going to be, you know, the first time they bought a Bitcoin or bought some sort of cryptocurrency, and that usually ends up being one of the exchanges that you see out there. So there's a lot of countries that don't have exchanges, and there's still a lot of interest in that. So that's really a little bit of my background in a nutshell, and in terms of what I've been doing at the company and a little bit before that.
There are crappy coins out there and really white paper with an idea and raise millions of dollars in 2017. I'm so glad, I'm sure you are too, that we are going through a crypto winter where sanity is prevailing. And I'm super excited to be talking to you because you started in 2009 before Bitcoin was really a thing. It just literally got released in the same year in January by the white paper of Satoshi Nakamoto. So it's very exciting for me to see that you started there and you were in the FX space. You are already disrupting that whole trading platforms in that space. And then in comes crypto, and building crypto exchanges was more of an incremental change for you. It was not like a disruption to you. It's almost like I'm reminded of Dell versus IBM. Direct from Dell was already happening pre-internet days. So internet came, it was an incremental change. But for IBM, the retail channel conflict with internet, and they ended up just dismantling it and passing it over to Lenovo. So is my understanding kind of correct?
Yeah, we were lucky in some ways, but the luck came from the work that we had put in the FX days. we were fortunate that the industry grew and it really suited to our backgrounds in that sense. But we were prepared in that we had done this before. And yes, there's certainly changes between FX and cryptocurrency, but there's a lot of similarities as well. People still want credibility, and they still want stability in the platform. They still want to be able to make a trade and understand what happens when they make a trade. They still want liquidity in the markets. There's a lot of things that are very, very similar. And yeah, I feel fortunate that we identified that opportunity. There's a lot of FX companies that decided not to do that. And I think a lot of them are kind of kicking themselves a little bit, thinking, you know, how do I really approach this market? And it is an interesting question for a lot of financial firms. There's a lot of the bigger institutions are still afraid of getting into the space for credibility reasons or other reasons. And, you know, they have a big business to risk at that stage. We were willing to do that. We really were excited about the industry. We thought that this would be the future of finance and trading. And we just kind of made that leap. So, yeah, we're very excited for the space very much still, and really glad that we decided to do that.
But are you continuing both the businesses, the FX trading platforms, as well as the cryptocurrency trading platforms in parallel?
We do still, yeah, we still operate the FX part of the business. It's at this point, it's something we're so comfortable doing, and it's we have the staff and bandwidth to do that. It's a little bit hard to focus on. In fact, we're you know, there's so much happening in the crypto space that we haven't really changed the product much, if at all, on the FX side. The industry is not really changing much there either. So I would say that 90%+ of our effort and time is really dedicated towards improving our product and finding our clients for the cryptocurrency side.
And is it fair to say that your future lies in the crypto space for shift markets?
Definitely. This year has been a big change for us, for the upside. We you know, the FX stuff was fine and good, but this it turned from that to something that is really exciting. And it's one of the, it's my favorite year of the last 9 years we've been in business. This industry changes a lot of things for a lot of people, and the services that we provide, I think, you know, it's an exciting position to be in. You see these people come to us and they have really good ideas, and there's a lot of innovation, a lot of hunger for knowledge. And it's, you know, it is a revolution in a lot of ways in finance, especially retail finance.
I'm so happy to hear that. Now, you told me that you started it out of your apartment in New York and a few $1,000s. Did you guys ever end up raising VC funding? How did you guys finance the operation so far? A little bit about that.
Yeah, it's all been grassroots stuff so far. It's been good in that way. We've gone through there's been changes and peaks and troughs, but we've always managed to get through things. And we haven't raised any capital, outside capital. So we just kind of grew. We probably could have grown faster had we done that, but. I can't look back and regret anything we've done. It's been you know, really good so far.
And what are the numbers? I know you're a private company. May not be able to share everything. I understand that. But what can you share with us in terms of size of your business? How many employees? Or is it dollar volumes or marquee clients? Can you tell us something about some of the successes that you have had so far?
Yeah, certainly. So we have about 50 employees globally. We're headquartered in New York. Most of the employees are here in New York. But we do, being an international industry, we really want to focus on building out some of the other regions. I think the best metric that gives some color to the growth and what we're seeing is the number of exchanges we've set up. The product isn't that old. It's less than a year old, and we've already sold 75 exchanges, and we're launching about one new one per week right now, with the capacity that we have, and sometimes more than that. So that's probably the best metric to compare. A lot of being less than a year old, the bigger clients that we have, the more institutional sized clients, they tend to be a little bit slower to get compliance and marketing and all that stuff ready. So some of them are just starting right now, even though they might have bought the product 3 or 4 months ago. And then some of the smaller clients are a little more nimble, but they also need some more time to get more kind of put the money back into the company and reinvest it for marketing dollars. But we do have a very wide range of size of clients, all being, you know, people work from us if they're, you know, a few people in a room in some place around the world, up to a very large, well-known household name institution. And we're talking to all those sorts of people. And there's different use cases for the technology, but that 75 exchange number hopefully gives a little bit of insight to what we're doing in the space.
You were also telling me a couple of marquee clients you got in that blockchain space. Can you mention them for the sake of our audience?
Yeah, so we did... generating these exchanges and building this network out has been getting more interest than just people that are looking at becoming their own exchange. There's a lot of network effects that we're getting. And two, I think, representative deals we've done in the space are two of the top 10 coins by market cap. Actually, I'm not sure where Tron is right now, but one's Tron and one's Stellar Lumens. I believe Stellar Lumens is 5 or 6, maybe Tron's 10 to 12 right now. But both very well-known projects. And so those are two of the blockchain names that we're associated with. They really like what we're doing in the sense that we're creating these exchanges in different pockets of the world. And in the sake of, say, Stellar Lumens, being kind of an international payment platform, they really like the concept of getting liquidity in lots of different markets. And what's really nice about our clients is there. So let's say there's an exchange in somewhere in South America, they accept local fiat. And that's rare for a lot of the high volume exchanges. A lot of them don't take fiat at all, or they're just starting to figure out how to do fiat. And a lot of our exchanges are doing fiat in not just dollars, but other currencies as well. And what's interesting about that is, you know, if you're a coin and you want to be a globally liquid, having globally liquid trading, having liquidity in different fiats is really interesting. So those are some of the partnerships we've done. We've done a little bit of crossover between FX and crypto, which is interesting. That's what Tron really liked that about our company. So those are some of the bigger deals and more well-known announcements that we've made.
What exactly is the relationship between Tron, Stellar Lumens, and Ship Markets? What are they to you? Are they your clients? Are they kind of organically introduce their tokens into every one of your exchanges? It's like an OEM installation. What is the relationship?
Yeah, so each one is different. So I would call, in some ways, I call both of them a client. In that their services we're providing for them, and then payments rendered for various services. So, but we look at, depending on, we both see upside and benefit to working together in that, and especially in the public space. You know, there's been crossover and interest in things once we made the announcement. But I would say, yeah, I guess technically clients, and they want slightly different things. But I would say that they were clients and in some ways partnerships as well.
Okay. And then you talked about liquidity a couple of times and how critical that is to exchanges. Again, not everybody understands. Can you define what liquidity is in an exchange and why that is critical?
Yeah. So, for any market to really thrive, you need liquidity. And it's, I think I heard this once before, like a depression is really a lack of liquidity. You can't, when you don't have liquidity, people can't make transactions, or they pay a lot more for those transactions. So, liquidity is the ability to get something very quickly and easily and for a reasonable price. And, what adding more exchanges does is, for every exchange that we add, there's more users that are buying and selling cryptocurrency and whatever they're exchanging it with, whether it be a fiat or another crypto. And every time we have a new exchange, we have more liquidity, and the technology in the background allows us to kind of mix and match and distribute liquidity between our exchanges and other people that want liquidity as well. So access and liquidity is really, I think, what is really the most exciting thing, in that it's really necessary for it to happen, for the industry to grow. So for the higher market caps, higher volumes, higher, more access to people, more new participants, liquidity is really the answer for all those things. And because it gives better pricing to people, transaction costs go down, availability goes up, all the things that you need for a good market.
And so when somebody gets an exchange from you, that is not an isolated exchange. They're kind of joining a Shift Markets ecosystem because they seem to be getting a network effects benefit. Because you said, for example, you're exchanging liquidity across exchanges, right? So can you elaborate that? Isn't that the fact?
Yeah, that's a good point. So we don't require that our exchanges take liquidity from other exchanges. The reality is they want to, and it's beneficial for them to do that. And I don't know if there's any case we have where they don't want any of the other liquidity. What it does is, if you're operating an exchange, you want more participants. They're good things. So what's nice about that, if you are starting an exchange and you're worried about getting users to build the bid and offer book of your platform, we can plug that in on day one and just give you the pricing you need to compete in the space, which is, you know, if you were starting that 5 years ago, that wasn't, you had to do everything from scratch, build your own technology and find your own customers and build the order book. Here we can just give you all that when you start.
So I want to shift gears a little bit. Now let's talk about your potential customers. So if I wanted to buy an exchange from you, I don't even know the right terminology. Suppose I want to buy an exchange from you and roll it out how should I get ready to do that? What are the factors of readiness? Can you give me a checklist of things I should check off before I come to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's some kind of hard things that you need, and there's just some general things that I think that you want to have. And when I say that, I mean, you know, starting an exchange is an endeavor, just like any other business. You're going to want to commit time and resources and focus on growing the exchange. And you definitely, by doing so, you'll be being plugged in this dynamic industry. You'll be attuned to all the changes that are happening almost week over week. And once you're in it, you're kind of, and this kind of happened when we started our company, we didn't have everything worked out on day one, but once you're committed, you don't have much choice. You adapt. And the willingness to do that is, I guess, one of those general things I was describing, where if you're willing to do that and you really believe in the space, that is a really good foundation. All the other things are things you just need to get or do, and more like box checking sort of stuff. Have enough capital to maintain yourself for whatever period of time. Have a strategy. And there's a lot of strategies I could talk about. But if you think about it, there's still a lot. All the facts and all the trends are pointing in that direction. Millennials are really, really interested in cryptocurrency. So you have that in your favor. The newer generation of people are focusing more and more and more on digital assets and how that works in their portfolio. So you have that. You have also, there's more people getting connected to the internet still, and still more mobile devices being connected online. Those are good trends as well. You have more coins coming out. Now, there's a lot of bad coins, of course, but there are also really good innovations and things that are becoming done hike over the coming months and years. So you have innovation, you have money in the space, you have a lot of money in the space, and you have people, really, really smart people doing really cool things. And ultimately, that will lead to people being attracted to the industry. So when you're operating an exchange, what you want to figure out is, what niche do I want to occupy? Do I want to do crypto to crypto? Do I want to focus on a certain culture or region or language? Do I want to focus on a certain type of coin or type of asset? Maybe it's security tokens. Maybe it's pure cryptocurrencies. Maybe it's something else. So you want to think about that a little bit. And there's opportunities everywhere. And then also the marketing strategy that goes along with that. And different regions are different. So whether some people prefer call center, which I haven't really seen done much in the cryptocurrency space. Some people do event marketing and do more kind of education-based marketing, where they teach people something about the space. And it's an entry point for how to get people in. Some people want to focus on the more advanced and algo trading market and build cool APIs and order types and cater to people that are really algorithmically oriented and want to do arbitrage. So there's a lot to think about there, but it's just a matter of kind of picking one of those. And usually what I would say to someone that's kind of interested, I say, well, what do you like? What are some of your selling points? What are your interests? Do you have a background in education, or do you have a background in marketing, or do you prefer getting in front of people or being on the phone? So those are the kind of questions I would kind of ask myself and spend some time really narrowing down what your focus will be. And then once you have that, then you can really decide, okay, let's get the nuts and bolts of the exchange figured out. Let's pick our vendors and let's go out and start getting customers.
Got it. So you're essentially thinking, you're telling people, think about your business before you think of the exchange. Exchange is just a enabling device. It's a vehicle that will get you there, but you need to have all the things you need for a business, because an exchange is a business. So you need to know what business, where you want to operate, and what's your passion, why do you want to do this. So you need to get the why and the what figured out before you come to you, who's making the how much easier.
Yeah, precisely. And that's kind of something I would tell anyone that's starting a business. But in this space, you have so many niches that are unoccupied. There's countries that don't have exchanges yet. And If you just do a little bit of research, you'll be able to find these niches and opportunities. If cryptocurrency and the blockchain and this industry is something that you like, an exchange is an interesting mechanism for kind of growing in the space. And if you want to provide access to people and really you believe in the cause or you just want to build a good business, exchanges is a scalable way to do that. And then from there, it's just executing with everything you want to do on kind of a good business practice sort of sense. So it's like something you would do in any business, but thinking about the trends that are happening in the blockchain space.
Great. So what kind of services do you provide to these exchanges? Do you just give them a product or do you provide associated services such as a 24/7 support, for example? And you mentioned about the inter-exchange liquidity as an extra bonus if they chose it. Like that, what are the other, beyond just the technology, what are the other services you provide?
Right. So that's a good question, because when you come in, there's a lot of questions you have. And this industry being still in the early part of development, there's not perfect answers for everything. And there's certainly not someone you can go to for everything. So this was our model in the FX space too, but also with cryptocurrency, we really see the need for assistance and guidance and support. We are a kind of a technology company, but also a financial services company. And the way we succeed is our clients need to succeed. And that's really how we succeed. So what we do, and to help clients get into the space, is, yes, we do provide the technology, and we also provide the training that goes along with that. We make it easy to use, and we make it easy for your customers to understand as well. Additionally, we do have 24-hour support. And why that's important, well, we have a global set of clients. They all have different time zones where they're talking to their customers. So we have to be there to answer their more critical questions if they come up. So we can help with that. We usually do some sort of social media or chat group where they can talk to our team and get the questions answered. And what's nice about that is that you just avoid a lot of pitfalls. I mean, there's a lot of kind of common mistakes people make, and a little tip can go a long way. I mean, we've seen a lot of this stuff before, whether it be in the cryptocurrency space or in the FX space, just things like payments and legal things. We're beefing up in our services area in terms of that sort of stuff, the compliance and regulation, payment gateways, automating KYC and AML, and these sorts of services to really make your business run smooth as possible. Because shopping around and finding all these vendors is not an easy task. And what we've done is integrated with a lot of them that we feel are providing good service, or we've opted to provide the service in along with the technology that we're offering as well. And lastly, the liquidity. When you start off, and we talked about this a little bit, but you want to have an order book, because when a client comes to your website, sign up for an account, and they don't see any orders on the order book, they're going to go away. So what we can do is essentially populate your order book with enough orders so you look, your pricing is competitive with other large exchanges out there now.
Wow. So those are, you've really studied this from what are the pains these people will have when they kick it off and when they're in the ongoing mode. And you kind of figured out what are the challenges and provided services around them and filled those gaps. So that's very helpful. Now, how do I, as a client, how much time should I plan from the time I sign a contract with you to be up and running? How much time will that take? And what is the pricing model? Is there a setup fee? Is there a maintenance fee? Is there a transactional fee? Is there a combination? Can you walk me through that model a little bit?
Yeah. So your first question is about the timing. And we were pretty, when we first launched, when Bitcoin was hitting a record every week or so in price, there was a lot of demand. And we were juggling a lot to get people installed. And that we were out to a few months. Now we're down to about 6 to 8 weeks. It does depend though on what what you're looking for in terms of the configurations and the customization. It's not, we do custom work on the front end, depending on what it is you want to do. We do have nice styles that you can follow, whether it be a really simple model where it's just a single level price and just buy or sell Bitcoin, or a more advanced model where you see the full order book and get a lot more order types and features. So given that, the setup time can range a little bit, but that's more or less what we do on the faster side of things. And on the pricing side, we have essentially a setup fee with a some sort of transaction-based model, or at least a model where the more users you have, the more we charge. And the reason for that is support increases, server space, hosting costs, all that stuff increase, and we that's all covered in the cost. So the setup fee is depending on the package you get. Let's just say it's around $50,000, and ballpark around a few thousand dollars a month minimum on the transaction fees. So it's pretty approachable for a lot of people. I've gotten a lot of reactions to that. Some people say it's really inexpensive. Some people say it's expensive. Our model is really, it is designed to essentially let someone that has enough money to get into space, and if you're a group of entrepreneurs and you don't have a ton of money, that is a price that people could do. And if they're willing to commit to that, and we give them the same level of support we give anyone else, and they still get all the features and the team and all those things. So, that's generally the model that we have.
And pretty much 75 exchanges that you have currently on your roster have used the same model?
There's been custom requests for different reasons. So if you can think about the different profiles we might get. So I mentioned a few, like the entrepreneurs. There are some existing, like say an FX company that we already know, and they come to us and they want to add cryptocurrency exchange to their existing business as a bolt-on. That's a great model too. Sometimes they ask for very customized things like integrations with their existing systems, or they want to change the way things are structured on the upside. And we're willing to do those things as long as they make sense. Sometimes they already have a big user client base, and we value that, of course. And, you know, we have to change the way things are done with setting up the servers and how we service that customer, because we know there's going to be a lot more load on the system. And there's going to be kind of a different model we might need to do for that. But I guess my point is we're flexible. We're practical people. We understand that people have different approaches to the space. Sometimes we get people that are creating their own economy, they're creating their own token, and they want an exchange to distribute their own token or do something unique that is in kind of the token space. So they want something different. So it is a little flexible, but I'd say the most common request is they want to be a traditional exchange, and they want something like they want to offer buy and sell crypto to their customers. And that's more along the model I was describing.
And when you divide these 75 exchanges into buckets, are these banks, are these entrepreneurs, first-time entrepreneurs, are these some FX guy that wants to start an exchange in crypto? What kinds of patterns are you seeing amongst these 75?
Yeah, I've been surprised. I was expecting, when we first launched the product, to be mostly entrepreneurs, just because at the time in particular, there was just a lot of hesitancy about getting into the space. Like larger institutions were skittish about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and just what that meant. But pretty quickly we got calls from banks, we got calls from FX firms. We're talking to a very, very large exchange right now. That's well known. And, it's kind of ran the gamut on who they are. So we're trying to build it out to be kind of create more packages and be a little more flexible, have more standards for where you are coming into the space. Just because our expectations, it's been more than that. It's really just been all kinds of different people all over the world. And I know that doesn't really add a lot of color, but it's just really what we've seen. It's just every week you see something pretty different.
And let me ask you one more question on that. Geographically, do you see a concentration of these exchanges that you have rolled out? Where are you finding most of your exchanges located?
That's also a vague answer, just because it is pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
What is number one and number two? Give me the first and second region.
I'd say so if you talk about the way I would break it down is where I see a little bit deviation from what one might expect, or deviation from what we've seen on the FX space. And I'll address that really quickly and then talk about the countries as well. But one thing is I think emerging markets stand out more so. And that some of that's because people in emerging markets are more excited about cryptocurrency because it solves more problems for them. Like in Brazil, for example, there's a lot of capital controls, and Bitcoin in Brazil is very, very, there's a lot of interest around it. And Asia in particular, there's a lot of interest in cryptocurrency. So we see a little bit more of that, I'd say. The countries is tough. I think just because we're in New York and that we do get a lot of US, UK, but if it's any more, it's very marginally more than pretty much anywhere else. It's hard. I can't think of one country that if I had to summarize the 75, there's probably like 40 different countries in that 75. So there's not one big standout country.
Got it. And how do you help these people, these exchanges, with respect to legal compliance, regulations? Do you do anything in that, or is that their problem?
So that question is a big one. Mostly because there's a lot of uncertainty, not just from people asking us that want to start their exchange, but also from the regulators. They haven't figured out exactly how they want to treat the market. So we give them general advice when they ask us. We do have solutions that are a little more global and more practical to get started in areas where it doesn't require a license. So you can start there. You can target a lot of different countries, and there's certain countries you want to kind of be a lot more cognizant of the rules, especially when you add any kind of security element to the platform. But if it's just cryptocurrency, the rules are still pretty, uncertain in a lot of places, and you can get away with a lot of things in the sense of you're not breaking a lot of rules yet. And more countries are coming out with policies, and we're staying on top of that. We actually are looking at adding, kind of a legal services team to our company. We're interviewing for that right now, actually. And we're going to be advising people in general, and having not just that, but also having package solutions where they can come and just say, okay, I want to be set up in this jurisdiction, just because it's a friendly jurisdiction. They know what they're doing in terms of regulation in that jurisdiction. And it's an easy path to kind of grow from there. And you compare it to the FX space. The FX space is similar. There's certain hubs where you get regulators, and some regulators understand it better than others. I anticipate some of the larger exchanges will have multi-jurisdictional companies, where they'll have maybe one, two, or even three different areas where they market from or paper clients from.
Well, time flies. We have been having a lot of fun here. And you have been incredible. This is so exciting. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be very excited to listen to this thing. You gave us a lot of juice, a lot of meat. So are there questions I should have asked or you wished I asked that I did not?
You covered it. I mean, I think the biggest thing for us is, I think I was very surprised when we launched the FX product. I thought that I wasn't sure how long people would be setting up FX brokers. And, what I've seen is that people are still doing that. And a lot of them are still taking market share and have been doing so as recently as a few years ago. I think it's still very wide open in terms of the exchange base. It's by no means it's by no means settled. Yes, there's been some big success stories so far, and yes, there's been people that have gone from nothing to a lot. But there's a lot more to be done. There's some of the early adopters have had hacks, or they've had stability issues, they've had security issues, they had issues collecting fiat, and a lot of the leaders still have these issues. The market share is there to be taken, and it's not just what's out there now. The industry is growing, so you have this really, really exciting space where millennials are getting more interested in this than they are in the stock market. And you have more and more people coming online global, and you have all these new inventions, more so than I've seen in any financial market that I've been involved with. And that's not much, but just when you think about cryptocurrency and the inventions that are happening, you add all that together and the exchange makes a lot of sense. And we're super excited about it. We really are very passionate about this industry. We really think that we're at the beginning of a lot more trading volume, a lot more people connected to crypto. People are still not even really using it on a more practical stance. It's still mostly speculation. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so should I do the question over?
Discontinue.
So sorry, my connection bounced, but I just think that the industry is still in its infancy, and no matter what you do, look at the space and take your strengths and apply them to them. It doesn't have to be an exchange; it can be anything else. But what we're offering is something that is tangible. It touches a lot of people, and it's a scalable business model. But we still need vendors. And so if you set up a company that we could use, we'll talk to you. There's a lot that needs to be done in the space. And if you have any entrepreneurial spirit and you're thinking about this space, I highly recommend it just from the trends and things that I've seen and just what's happening out there with the money and the inventions and all the trends. It's really something that, if you are an entrepreneur, I think it's really, really exciting.
So happy to hear all of that. And one of the questions you just brought up was a security issue that I forgot to talk about, because Mt. Gox being hacked, and literally over the years, last few years, billions have been lost to exchanges, to the point that I heard actually people on the stage in conferences say, don't leave your money in exchanges, they're the worst place to leave your money. And you have had 75 exchanges. Has any of your exchanges ever been hacked, Ian?
No, fortunately, we have not had any issues. We've done testing. We've done penetration testing on the wallets. There's also some other things that people neglect. And it is something to think about when you're setting up an exchange. Crypto is easy to move around, and that means that people have access to your exchange wallets that work inside your company. And this has actually been some of these hacks, is where an employee or someone that has access to the wallet just sends it out and blames it on a hacker. So think about your internal policies as well. We do give a lot of advice, and we do have a lot of permissioning in our platform to where you can assign roles to certain people. So the people that process the transactions in terms of seeing the transactions come in, they don't necessarily have the ability to send out the crypto. So there is some things that you want to think about there. We've thought through a lot of that. We also recommend, that the exchanges don't keep a lot of their assets on the hot wallet. So, we do encourage our clients to move a lot of the assets out to cold storage. And then just these sorts of things some of these are just things that people kind of forget about or they don't think about right away. These are things that we would kind of educate you on. But fortunately, we have not had any security issues.
That itself deserves a congratulations. That's superb.
Thank you.
Great work, Ian. Can't wait to have you back in the future. I'm sure maybe on behalf of Kryptonites, I wanted to wish you and Shift Markets a phenomenal future ahead. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Karth. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.